WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. A suspect is in custody for the shooting deaths of an American Idol music supervisor and her husband, LAPD Lieutenant Guy Golan.
We identified the suspect as Raymond Budarian, a 22-year-old out of the Encino area. We identified him using the surveillance video here at the residence, as well as some other forensic evidence at scene.
New data on inflation are starting to show the effects of President Trump's tariffs. The consumer price index from June of last year to June of this year, rising 2.7%. There's still 0% containment on the Grand Canyon wildfire that overtook historic buildings and dozens of other structures. California Democratic Congressman Ro Khanna says he is teaming up with GOP Congressman Thomas Massie to force the release of the complete Jeffrey Epstein files through a long-shot procedural gambit in the House. This is ABC News. Brazil and the EU have said they'll respond if President Trump imposes his tariffs on imports. But what will Japan do?
Japan doesn't plan to impose countermeasures on U.S. exports if these tariffs do go into effect, a Japanese government official told ABC News. Japanese officials have met with their U.S. counterparts 7 times since the Japanese prime minister visited the White House in February, and Japan plans to continue looking for a diplomatic solution. But Japanese chief economist at Daiichi Life Research Institute warned, if the tariffs do go into effect, Japan will likely fall into recession. Ellie Kaufman, ABC News, Tokyo.
A carriage driver is on trial in New York over a horse's collapse on a Manhattan street in 2022. Ian McGeever has pled not guilty to misdemeanor animal cruelty. The horse survived the fall but was euthanized months later. Following in his mother's footsteps, Prince Harry is visiting the African nation of Angola with a landmine clearing charity. Dave Packer, ABC News.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
Milwaukee film critic, Mr. Matt Miller. I know you saw this. I saw 28 Years Later as well. I really liked it. My wife loved it, and we're not really horror people, but just something that grabbed. It's just great storytelling.
It is simultaneously what you would want from a zombie movie and something completely different. It's just a really fascinating movie, and one I hope people keep checking out.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Matt Nair on air.
Author of America, Let Me In, Felipe Torres Medina is here.
My funny book about immigration. You can see how the current administration and their policies are affecting the communities. But I'm a comedian. It is really sad, but how about some jokes? Because that's the only way I can, you know.
If we don't take a moment to laugh about something, we're all going to self-destruct.
100%.
Matt Nair on air. Weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Reach, engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
A new champion in the home run derby. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball slugger Cal Raleigh of the Seattle Mariners won the home run derby in Atlanta. Raleigh with a total of 54 home runs hit. The All-Star game going on tonight. Freddie Peralta, rookie Jacob Mizorowski, and closer Trevor McGill all there to represent the Brewers. McGill asked, where did reaching the All-Star game rank on his list of goals this season?
This is number one for me this year. You guys asked me earlier this season, and I kept it to myself that this is what, you know, I was striving for. And a lot of hard work and a lot of pitchers in front of me, a lot of my bullpen guys in front of me, you know, putting it down and giving me the opportunity to go out there and get saves this year. So, without the guys around me, this probably wouldn't be possible.
Basketball, it's the Bucks and the Chicago Bulls tomorrow in Las Vegas in summer league action. How hard is it to build a roster these days? GM John Horst.
I think the NBA is as compelling and competitive today as it's ever been.
With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
Hi, meteorologist Rodney Price. More showers and a few storms in the overnight. Heavy rainfall still a threat. Morning low temperatures in the mid and upper 50s. Light winds. Showers and storms continue on Wednesday. High temperatures holding steady in the afternoon in the upper 50s. It's 69 at our studios.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Civic Media Sports Authority Mike Clemens. And then the legendary and one and only Frank Hermans of Let Me Be Frank Productions performs in the studio. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8. The Todd Albaugh Show.
I came walking in here just a moment ago, and there was a young lady sitting here with a chicken.
It's fantastic. Kaylee High from Stanley Boyd High School. What's the line of bird?
So this is Sue. She's a Dominique, and she's 6 years old.
Is Sue here? Does she lay eggs?
She did used to. She's too old.
So chickens go through menopause?
Yes.
Or...
Yeah,
really?
Much. Yeah, basically.
It's a post-menopausal chicken. My sisters can relate.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station. And on the app, The Maggie Dawn Show.
Stephanie Bloomingdale, president of the Wisconsin AFL-CIO. The big brutal bill is basically an all-out assault on working Americans.
No tax on tips. It's not as good as it sounds because a lot of tipped workers are not paying that higher level of taxes
right.
In the first place.
As the wealthiest among us dine at the feast of all feasts, don't be fooled by the table scraps.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show at its new time, weekdays 4 till 6 p.m. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
From the Civic Media
on
World
location.
Headquarters
in it's the Todd Albaugh Show.
And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. Todd Albaugh along with Mr. Aaron Zommers on the board. Welcome in. It is the 15th day of July, 2025, a Tuesday. It is a great day to be a Wisconsinite. We are on location, not at the world headquarters of Madison, but at Radio City Rocket Park in beautiful Racine, Wisconsin, the home of WAUK Milwaukee from Racine, and Zommers already. And Zommers is with me. I'm very excited about this. Usually when we go on the road, he has to stay back at the world headquarters, but he was allowed to come on the road with me. And already, Zommers, the board here not functioning like back at home.
Yeah. I want a do-over on that one.
The look on his face. If we had been recording, he would have just said, all right, cut, we're going to do this again. But this is the beautiful thing about live radio. There ain't no going back. It's fine. It's fine. I feel like I'm visiting you in a prison cell, by the way, because the window, it's like a slit in a
very,
cell.
Very much feels like visiting a prison cell. But we'd be a little closer and talking on right. A handset. Like, you know.
But it's funny just to see like your face and your head through the window. But it's fantastic.
I see a little more of Todd because he's farther away from the window. But.
Yeah, exactly. If you're watching on the stream, down here in Racine, there's a camera that follows you around. So watch this. I can go over here and it follows. Oh, look, it follows me over here. There's a window for those watching on the stream. Fantastic. Big show today here in Racine. It's our first leg of our What Makes Wisconsin Great Tour here in July. Our friends Jane Matinere and Greg Bach are going to be joining us from the Matinere on Air program. You can hear it every morning from 9 until 11. Always a great show. They are going to be hopping on the van with me after this show, and we're heading up to Oshkosh Bagosh. We're going to be there in Oshkosh at the EAA Museum because next week the big EAA show takes over town. People come in from all over the world. It becomes the busiest airport in the world next week in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. So we're going to preview that tomorrow in Oshkosh, and then we're heading back up on getting in the van. And from there, we're going up to Butternut, Wisconsin, talking local artisans from beautiful Butternut. And then from there, it's over to Hayward on Friday. We're going to be outside at The Lot. The Lot. Not Big Lots, but The Lot.
Of unspecified size.
Yes. It's a beautiful place. It's a pavilion there. It's right across outside from our studio, Muskie 101. The Muskie up there in Hayward. We're going to be outside. Stop by. Join Jane and Greg from 9 until 11. And then join us outside from 2 until 4 on Friday afternoon. Beautiful Hayward. The World Lumberjack Championships happening. A powwow is going on from our Native American community. And lots more to talk about. Might go muskie fishing. Who knows? It's going to be a big show all week long, so she'll keep it here, both to Jane and Greg's show, Matt and Aaron Air in the morning, and our show in the afternoon. Going to be a great, great week, and many thanks to all of our great staff here at WRJN, WAUK Studios. Is there another? No, it's just those two stations here. Chris Morrow, our sales director, also the GM down here. Many thanks to him for letting us plant our story behinds in his station here for a couple of hours. We appreciate that. Thanks to Luke Mathers, our very own Luke Mathers. Here's the deal. On the vehicle, I no longer have a company card. So God love Luke. He came down into Wauwatosa. Our bus van is from Wauwatosa, and he came down this morning and brought the company card with him, but as George Costanza once said on Seinfeld, didn't take. So poor Lukester had to put this thing on his personal card. Thank goodness there was room on his, because there wasn't room on mine. Yes. And we appreciate Luke making the trip, and then he was here today. So, like, the gang's all in Racine. It was fantastic. So, appreciate everything Luke's done to get this trip going. Many thanks to Todd Michaels in Oshkosh for his work leading up to that. And many thanks to Darla, our great station manager up in Park Falls and Hayward, for all of her work up there. And there's a lot of other people behind the scenes making all this happen. And we couldn't do these things without them, and certainly not without you, Zommers. So, thanks to everybody for making this great week of What Makes Wisconsin Great happen. We appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thanks to all those people. You know, for me, whatever. But no, everybody else doing all the great work of scouting out locations, getting people to come on the show, all that great stuff. Yes, we appreciate it very much.
Yeah, absolutely. Other things that are different in Racine versus the World Headquarters of Madison in the men's room. Did you see this in the men's room? There's a sign on the mirror that says no grooming. No grooming in the over the sink.
I did not see that.
I'm like, what are people grooming in there?
I don't want to know.
I don't know why. I don't know. But I will not. I groomed this morning. I groomed the beard this morning before I left Madison.
As did I.
So I'm freshly groomed. So be no grooming. Big show today. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, I'm very, very excited about this. State Representative Tip McGuire, Democrat of right here in Racine, represents the 64th District. He's a member of the powerful Joint Finance Committee. Will be along. He's going to be joining because we're in his district, but we picked a bad day because he's outside the district. But he's kind enough to call in via phone. So Representative McGuire will be on the show talking about the budget, talking about what's next in the state legislature, and talking about Racine, his hometown, and how cool is that he grew up here, and now he gets to represent it in the state legislature. And Tip and I go back a ways, my last stint in the Capitol, 2010 to 2014, and Tip was working for former state rep Peter Barca. And we used to go for walks around the Capitol and chat in a bipartisan way. So anyway, now that he's a representative, he's going to be on the show, and we're looking forward to that. And we're also in hour two, a little What's Worse for You, Zommers. And CP, our writer and co-executive producer of this program, has done a great job on the What's Worses this week because they are location specific.
Yes, they're very topical.
I love it. And we're here, and one of our great sponsors, by the way, here in Racine on Civic Media is O&H Kringle. And here now, if you're watching on the stream, I went this, when I got into town, look at that. There it is. Oh, look at that beautiful packaging, O&H Kringle. And I got ourselves a raspberry Kringle. Already, Lukester has been in, well-deserved. He got a piece. Zommers has a piece over there. And O&H, great sponsors of Civic Media. We appreciate their sponsorship, their partnership. And here in my hot little hands, a piece of O&H Kringle. How is it, Zommers?
It's excellent, as you well know.
I'm about to take a bite.
I just did before he did.
The raspberry filling, it's a perfect proportion. It's just, it's beautiful. It's tender. It's sweet. Andy Griffith once said about another product, good Kringle.
And so, also, something I like about it, the middle is kind of a pocket.
Yes.
You know, I've had Kringle before where the filling is kind of another, you know, solid layer and it's very thin. Not so with these.
No, Kringle is a Kringle rules in Racine. Many thanks to O&H for being a sponsor. And at hour two, we're going to ask you the question. There's really only one right answer. But we'll accept them all. What's worse, coffee, cake, or Kringle? That's in hour two. And our very own Greg Bach, co-host of Matt and Air on Air every morning from 9 until 11. Greg's going to be here in studio, and we're going to talk about the last segment about getting on the road. Jane, I thought we'd bring Jane on as well, but Jane, she has people, and her people are getting her ready. Before we head out. No, not really. I'm just making it. She's going to leave her car at her place. We're going to pick her up on the way out of town.
Seems like a good move.
Yeah, absolutely. My truck is sitting in a lot in Wauwatosa. Will it be there when I get back? We'll find out.
I hope so.
We'll find out. Oh, also from O&H, look at this. I got this for Jane and Greg and I. It was a lemon loaf, a lemon pound cake loaf.
It looks amazing.
I'm a sucker for lemon.
Oh, so. Me too.
So I got that there, and so it's going to be a great trip, going to be a great few days here, and really looking forward to that. So big show today, and hope you stay with us. We'll take your phone calls as well. Can we take phone calls here?
To my knowledge.
Okay. 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. I want to start here. Because speaking of going around the state and doing things like that, we ran into, we can't. John Murray's giving me the phone, the thumbs up. We can take calls. That's fantastic. On Friday of last week, we were at the Northern Wisconsin State Fair with our friend and colleague Pat Kreitlow of Mornings with Pat Kreitlow from 6 until 9 every day, Monday through Friday, here at Civic Media. And my sister and I, who is our on-site producer, we do these things. We ran into Republican gubernatorial candidate Josh Shulman in one of the barns. And we struck up a conversation, and I said, well, hey, I'm doing my show here over in Building C. We don't have a large segment available, but I got about a 7-minute segment if you want to stop over. He said, great, because the Republican Party booth is right across the aisle. I was going there anyway. And he couldn't have been nicer. And Pat and I had him on the program, and we asked him, we didn't have a lot of time to get into specifics, but you know what? He answered the questions that we asked, and he said he'd come back on for a longer segment. Now, he happens to be a Republican, like most Republicans these days, who seems to be in on Donald Trump, had nothing but good words to say about him, which to me, in my mind, makes it someone I would not want to vote for. But he was willing to have a discussion, and I think that's really important. So last night, I'm getting ready for the show, going through some of my, social media stuff that I go through to develop the show. And I came across on Twitter X, Twix, Devin Remiker. Now, here's a guy who just got himself elected to the chairmanship of the state of Wisconsin Democratic Party. Never met him. I hear we're trying to get him on the show. Would love to have him. His predecessor, Ben Wickler, on this show many times. Always, again, I would say I agree with Ben Wickler most of the time. But regardless, he was always willing to have a conversation, and we appreciate that. Devin Remiker, we want him on the show. He has an open invitation to come on. But he retweeted something from Josh Shulman, the Republican gubernatorial candidate, a post he made about the Wisconsin State Fair. Let's try to get this in, Zomer. I think we have time. So here's what Josh Shulman posted at the Northern Wisconsin State Fair.
Hey, everybody. We're here at the Northern Wisconsin State Fair in Chippewa Falls, and we just had an electric time. There are hundreds of people that came through, and they are so excited for a grassroots campaign with a candidate who's willing to press the flesh, burn the shoe leather, and actually do the work it's going to take to take back Wisconsin. We had a wonderful time hearing still from people in this neck of the woods, and we'll see you soon in Spooner, and then in Monticello, and in your neighborhood soon.
All right, that's all. And he's standing in front of a nice sign that said Wisconsin State Fair in his red three-quarter zip and jeans. I think it's great. There's nothing wrong with that. Regardless of whether or not I'm going to vote for the guy, it's just a very standard campaign thing. Well, Devin Remiker, the new Democratic Party chair of Wisconsin, retweets that along with a picture, and Zomers and I are not exactly sure who this guy is. But Josh Shulman happens to have, I guess you might say, one of his pronounced features is he has really great teeth. And I don't want to say a big mouth, but I mean, his teeth are very nice, and you notice them. I'm not going to date Josh. He's a married man. But I mean, I think he's a fine-looking guy. Nothing wrong with that. But Devin Remiker retweets what we just played from Shulman along with this other person.
It looks kind of like the comedian Nathan Fielder. I'm not 100% sure if it is.
If it might be Nathan Fielder, the comedian. and seems to be making fun of Josh Schulman's physical appearance. And then he wrote something on it. We're going to come back. I'm going to tell you what Devin Remiker wrote and why I think the guy is off to a poor start as chairman of the Wisconsin Democratic Party. Don't attack Trump and then try to use Trumpism to get votes. That's what I say. We'll tell you what he said after this on the All Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. The Buzz of the North is now your home for Milwaukee Brewers baseball.
Fly ball, right field, it is deep, it is gone!
Milwaukee Brewer baseball on 96.9 WBZH, the Buzz of the North.
Fly ball, deep right, back, to back!
Milwaukee Brewer baseball on 96.9 WBZH.
At Hazelden Betty Ford, treating mental health isn't just about breaking old patterns. It's about braving new ones. As the leader in alcohol and drug treatment for 75 years, we know caring for addiction, anxiety, depression, and trauma goes hand in hand. We're here for you with new tools when life breaks down. Discover your path to better mental health at HazeldenBettyFord.org/Wisconsin. Sponsored by Hazelden Betty Ford Foundation.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Trump is again trying to have it both ways on agricultural workers. He says they're working on, quote, a temporary pass where the farmer can have a little control as opposed to you walk in and take everybody away. He's describing feudalism, where the people who work the land are more under direct control of the land owners rather than the rule of law. He wants the vassals. He wants the lords. He wants the peasants.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
Mommy, how come I can't sit in the front seat?
Because I love you and you're just not ready yet.
Putting your kids in the right seat for their age and size is an act of love. Check that your kids are in the right seat at NHTSA.gov/the right seat. Love protects. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
As Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Wherever it may lead, and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Today on location in our beautiful studios in Racine, Wisconsin. Radio City Rocket Park. No, it's just Radio Park, I think. I get confused.
It is Radio Park.
That's Radio correct. Park. All right, Radio Park. Very good. Here in beautiful Racine, Wisconsin. Coming up after the bottom of the hour, going to be joined by hometown favorite son, State Representative Tip McGuire, Democrat here at Racine in the 64th District, member of the Joint Finance Committee. Looking forward to catching up with Representative McGuire after the bottom of the hour. Right now, before the break here, we played you a cut of Josh Schulman, who is the, I should have said county executive, by the way. He's a current elected official, county executive of Washington County here in southeast Wisconsin. Announced he's going to run for governor as a Republican. We ran into him up in the Northern Wisconsin State Fair last week, along with Pat Kreitlow, our colleague. Pat and I had about 7 minutes with him. Look, you don't have a lot of time to get into any deep stuff, but I asked him about the state budget. We asked him whether or not he needed Trump's endorsement or not. Asked him about working across the aisle. He answered all those questions. And again, because of his support for Donald Trump, not going to be someone that I would vote for, but I really came across as someone who was not, when you meet him on the street, you're not like, oh, that's a slimy politician. Because the Republican Party booth was right across the aisle from the Civic Media booth. I watched him with the crowd for over 2 hours. I watched him in one of the barns. He listens to people, unlike Scott Walker, who I also saw campaign. It's not a forced thing. It's not like, oh, he's pretending to be he's pretending to be interested. He comes across as a very genuine guy and smooth, and I don't mean that derogatorily. I mean, he's very polished. And I can see why he would connect. I can see why he got elected county executive of Washington County. So he put this on at the Northern Wisconsin State Fair. He put on his X account a 27-second video just saying, hey, we're here at the Northern Wisconsin Fair. We're meeting people. They're ready for new leadership. Well, you know, can't wait to see you. Here's where we're going to be next. Very, very good video. So Devin Remiker, the new Wisconsin Democratic Party chair, reposts that on Twitter, along with a guy, who do you think he looks like, the comedian?
Nathan Fielder.
We think it might be Nathan Fielder. We're not 100% sure.
Just the angle is a little weird. Hard to match with other pictures of him.
It appears that Remiker is trying to poke fun at Josh Shulman's natural facial features, which, look, I'll make fun of Guilfoyle or these Trump women that get the Botox and the lips and the hair extension because they're intentionally changing their looks to please Donald Trump. And also they're in positions of power. And I think that's funny to me.
Punching up is different. Yeah,
exactly. You're punching up. This is seemingly making fun of someone's natural or poking fun at someone's natural features, which I don't think is cool. Then Remiker puts above that, he says, quote, out on the campaign trail, talking to my hundreds of excited grassroots supporters. They're all just out of frame, cheering for me too, unquote. Because in the video that Shulman posted, he's standing there alone because he has the Northern Wisconsin State Fair behind him.
It turns out people don't hang out by the sign for the Northern Wisconsin right. State Fair. They hang out inside the Northern Wisconsin State Fair.
And so Remiker seems to be like trying to insinuate that Shulman didn't meet a bunch of people. There weren't hundreds of people. I look, because our booths were across from each other, I will tell you that Josh Shulman did in fact meet hundreds of people because I saw it. And he was actually really good at it. So, you know, Devin Remiker is what, 32, 33 years old? And he's very young. And he was Ben Wickler, the very successful longtime Democratic chairman of Wisconsin. Remiker was his deputy. And look, I thought the Democrats should have put Joe Zepecki, a more seasoned guy I think is in his late 30s or 40, early 40s, a professional marketer. Zepecki was on this program. I thought the Democrats would have been better served, but I'm not a Democrat. Democrats said, no, Todd, you're all washed up. And they decided to put Devin Remiker there. I hope Remiker comes on the show. We've invited him. I would love to have him. As we said, Ben Wickler was on this show several times. Always enjoyed him. But I think this kind of too cute by half, seemingly making fun of Josh Shulman's physical appearance and then insinuating that Shulman was lying about meeting hundreds of people at the Northern Wisconsin State Fair, it seems very Trump-esque to me. And if Democrats think that the way you win elections is by mimicking Donald Trump, they're off on that. They're just off. Because Republicans rally around Trump because it's all about Trump and mimicking Trump on the right. People aren't going to vote for Democrats, in my opinion, by mimicking Trumpism and being mean about things and punching down. What I think Remiker should have done is said, look, does Josh Shulman support federal ICE troops coming in and disappearing people in our farm fields and dairy farms? That would have been a fair punch on policy. But to just go after a guy for his natural looks and then to insinuate that he's lying, because I'll tell you what, we were at the Northern Wisconsin State Fair for 2 days, Kreitler and I were. You know who I didn't see there? Governor Tony Evers. You know who I didn't see there? Any Democratic elected official. I'm not saying maybe the other one or 2 days the fair went on might not have been there. But the Republican booth was hopping. It was well laid out. Lots of people behind there. It was hopping. The Democratic booth was off in a corner with one little sign that did not look good, by the way. And one person sitting there. I just think that Devin Remicker and the Democrats could do better. Maybe having more people like Representative Tip McGuire, who I think is doing a great job down here in Racine. He will join us next via phone. Don't go anywhere. It's the Todd Allball Show live on location from beautiful Racine, Wisconsin, the home of WRJN across the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Matt and Air on Air.
Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packard. A suspect is in custody for the shooting deaths of an American Idol music supervisor and her husband, LAPD Lieutenant Guy Golan.
We identified the suspect as Raymond Budarian, a 22-year-old out of the Encino area. We identified him using the surveillance video here at the residence, as well as some other forensic evidence at scene.
New data on inflation are starting to show the effects of President Trump's tariffs. The consumer price index from June of last year to June of this year rising 2.7%. There's still 0% containment on the Grand Canyon wildfire that overtook historic buildings and dozens of other structures. California Democratic Congressman Ro Khanna says he is teaming up with GOP Congressman Thomas Massie to force the release of the complete Jeffrey Epstein files through a long-shot procedural gambit in the House. This is ABC News.
A new champion in the home run derby. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball slugger Cal Raleigh of the Seattle Mariners won the home run derby in Atlanta. Raleigh with a total of 54 home runs hit. The All-Star game going on tonight. Freddie Peralta, rookie Jacob Mizorowski, and closer Trevor McGill all there to represent the Brewers. McGill asked, where did reaching the All-Star game rank on his list of goals this season?
This was number one for me this year. You guys asked me earlier this season, and I kept it to myself that this is what, I was striving for. And a lot of hard work and a lot of pitchers in front of me, a lot of my bullpen guys in front of me, putting it down and giving me the opportunity to go out there and get saves this year. So, without the guys around me, this probably wouldn't be possible.
Basketball, it's the Bucks and the Chicago Bulls tomorrow in Las Vegas in summer league action. How hard is it to build a roster these days? GM John Horst.
I think the NBA is as compelling and competitive today as it's ever been.
With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Emmy nominations are in, and here are some shows nominated in the Best Drama category. Andor from Disney+, Netflix's The Diplomat, HBO has three nominees with The Last of Us, The Pitt, and White Lotus. Hulu's Paradise, and rounding out the nominees are Apple TV's Severance and Slow Horses. Not a weak link in the bunch. Nominees for Best Actress in the drama series include Kathy Bates for Matlock, Sharon Horgan in Bad Sisters, Bella Ramsey in The Last of Us, Britt Lower for Severance, and Kerry Russell in The Diplomat. Best Actor nominees in a drama series include Gary Oldman for Slow Horses, Adam Scott in Severance, Noah Wiley in The Pitt, Pedro Pascal for The Last of Us, and Sterling K. Brown for Paradise. And when it comes to the outstanding scripted variety series, you've got to like your chances, as there are only two nominees, Last Week with John Oliver and Saturday Night Live. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Rebuilding and refreshing local radio one station at a time. This Civic Media radio station is proud to be a part of your community. Learn more at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. More showers and a few storms in the overnight. Heavy rainfall still a threat. Morning low temperatures in the mid and upper 50s. Light winds. Showers and storms continue on Wednesday. High temperatures holding steady in the afternoon in the upper 50s. It's 69 at our studios.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Folks just deserve a little bit better than the usual promises that they're getting. But our members of Congress, two of them from here in Wisconsin, recently signed a letter to Canada and said, Canada, you're on fire. You need to do something about this, which is really not necessarily the best course of action when your neighbor's house is burning down is to send a letter complaining about the smoke.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Matt Nair on Air.
Author of America, Let Me In, Felipe Torres Medina is here.
My funny book about immigration. You can see how the current administration and their policies are affecting the communities. But I'm a comedian. It is really sad, but how about some jokes? Because that's the only way I can, you know.
If we don't take a moment to laugh about something, we're all going to self-destruct.
100%.
Matt Nair on Air. Weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. We're on the road for What Makes Wisconsin Great, this time from the EAA and Oshkosh Air Museum, along with Jane and Greg. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Truth, wherever it may lead, and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Todd Albaugh Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. We are live on location of our first day, our first site of our What Makes Wisconsin Great tour. Kicking it off here at the studios, WRJN. This is where WAUK broadcasts out of in beautiful Racine, Wisconsin. Home of O&H Kringle. Great sponsor, great Kringle. Coming up in hour two, we're going to do a little bit of What's Worse featuring Kringle's War of the Things. And by the way, Dave in New Berlin, one of our great listeners, says, Racine is my hometown, Todd. I used to visit the studio when I was a teenager. I cut a few sound checks. He says not very good ones, but I bet they are. He said, likely in the very studio that you're in. Back, he says, back in 1926, I think. He kids.
No, he was saying that to me because I said that we were talking about, you know, the old studio, and we said old in loving terms, like historic, and that it's one of the first stations in the U.S. that went on air. So right. Dave was saying he believes it went on air in 1926.
Oh, I see. Got it. No, I love, because my first job on radio, WRCO in Richland Center, was in the original studio that opened up in 1949. And so to have a chance to broadcast from a historical studio like RJN here in Racine, another original building built for radio, is an honor and a privilege. And we're so happy that we are here, happy that you're along with us at 36 minutes past the hour of 2 o'clock, and so happy to have our next guest here as well. According to his X-Files, his X-account, says proudly serving the greater Kenosha, Racine, Summers, Mount Pleasant, Elmwood Park region. He is a state representative from the 64th District, including the city of Racine, a member of the powerful Joint Finance Committee, and he joins us via phone, State Representative Tip McGuire. Tip, how the heck are you?
I'm doing well, Todd. How are you?
I could not be better. I'm sorry we picked a day when you were not in the district. We came down here and didn't give you a heads up, but I appreciate you calling in and joining us because, you know, back in the day, during my former boss, Dale Schultz's last stint in the Capitol, 2010-14, you were then working for former state rep Peter Barca. And in a bipartisan fashion, you and I over lunch would go out and take a walk around the building, as they say, the Capitol or a couple of blocks away. And we would say, well, geez, how could our bosses work together? And lo and behold, back in those days, both Dale and Peter did find ways to work together and got along. I always appreciated those talks and walks. And it's great now to have you on as a state legislator yourself.
Well, I appreciated those talks and walks as well. And those are two guys that we can both be proud to have worked for.
Oh, absolutely. I really believe that. I wish we had more of that going on in the Capitol. And you're in your second term now?
I'm in my fourth term.
Are you really? Oh my God! I see. Yeah. I'm getting old, Tip. It goes so fast. Well, just watching you and the way that you've carried yourself, the way that you have worked with the public, it reminds me a lot of the best of our two former bosses, because you're someone who truly cares. You're getting to represent your hometown area, and I think first and foremost, when you have a passion to represent where you're from, I think that makes a difference. Agree or disagree?
I 100% agree. The number one reason that you run for office is because you care about your hometown and you want it to succeed. And so I'm very proud. It's the honor of a lifetime to represent Kenosha.
So tell us, for those that don't know, I grew up in Richland Center, Southwest Wisconsin, and lived almost half my life now in Madison. I don't get down to this part of the state as often as I should or I would like. We're a statewide show. Tell folks a little bit, if you were just kind of given the elevator pitch or telling people about your hometown area, the district you now represent in the assembly, what should people know?
I mean, I think you have to start at Lake Michigan. We have one of the wonders of the world right here in our backyard. We've got Lake Michigan. We're right on the lake. And so we're sort of between Milwaukee and Chicago, but we have excellent food, a little influence from both, excellent food, some wonderful museums, a downtown trolley that you can ride around, especially in the summer. I wouldn't recommend it as much when it's cooled out, but you can. And it's just a beautiful community that, you know, honestly, it is a city. It's 100,000 plus people. But in reality, it still has that small town feel where people know each other and the community is very comfortable with each other.
Yeah, it's just a beautiful part of the state that those of us that might not get down here. I mean, a lot of people like going to Milwaukee to a Brewers game. And I think for some of us, it's like, well, that's southeast Wisconsin. No. There's actually a lot of life and vibrancy south of Milwaukee between that and the state border. And Racine and Kenosha area certainly have that. Tip, tell us before we get into the policy of this thing, tell folks a little bit about your journey growing up here, where you went to school, and kind of what drew you into politics.
Yeah, so I guess if I'm being totally frank, so I grew up here in Kenosha County. I grew up in the town of Summers, where my mother still lives, but not too far from where I live now. And so my father taught at Parkside. My mother taught at a school in Chicago, and they both drove in different directions every morning and then returned home. But growing up with a family of teachers, I read a lot, and we had like a big, you know, acre and a half yard. And so I would get into all sorts of adventures out there. Growing up, I went to St. Sebastian's in Sturtevant and then St. Catherine's High School in Racine. I went to Marquette for undergrad, and then I came to work with you in the Capitol, Todd, for 5 years before I went to law school at the University of Wisconsin. Following law school, I was a prosecutor. I was a special prosecutor in Kenosha and then an assistant DA in Milwaukee. And then when the opportunity to run opened up in my hometown, I took it and I ran. I guess I would say the thing that initially drew me to politics was when I was, 16, 15 years old, I opposed the war in Iraq. And so I started watching and observing politics a lot more that way. My parents were always very politically involved. And then from there, I volunteered on my very first campaign, which is in 2004 for John Kerry and Russ Feingold, and I made phone calls for them. And then after that, I was just committed to making sure that we had a Wisconsin and the United States that benefited working people and where we could have faith that the decisions made by our leaders were the ones with our best interests at heart.
I love the story, and I said that wrong. I apologize. It really isn't just politics. To me, it was a public service, and I think you're someone. I know you're someone because I've spent time with you in the Capitol. I've seen you work. I've seen you listen to people. You're someone who really cares about helping others and making your area and the entire state better. And that's what I respect about you and appreciate. Even if we might, not always agree on every single policy thing, it's your intent and why you do this. So we're talking with State Representative Tip McGuire from the 64th District Democrat here from the Kenosha and Racine area. So talk to us a little bit. Well, first of all, Tip, I got to say, so you got your law degree at Wisconsin, undergrad at Marquette, right?
Yeah.
So tell us, the big game, Wisconsin Marquette basketball, who do you cheer for?
Look, Marquette doesn't have a football team for me to cheer for, so I usually give them the edge in basketball. You know, the Badgers, they got other things for me to cheer for them in, so I usually give Marquette the edge in basketball.
My former boss, one of my other former bosses, Scott Klug, he's a big Marquette fan and grad, and so he takes me to one a Marquette game, men's basketball game a year. And I have to say, as a Wisconsin fan, Marquette student section for men's basketball is better, in my opinion, most nights. And they really, Shaka Smart, they really do it the right way. So it's just part of what makes Wisconsin great. All right, let's get on to some actual politics here. So the state budget, you're one of four Democrats. There's two assembly people. There's two senators on the state budget committee, joint finance committee. You're one of the three who voted no on the state budget. Tell us, we had State Senator Kelda Royce on the program quite a bit during the budget. She was also a no vote. Tell us, Representative McGuire, why you voted no.
Well, I think to get into the no vote, I want to kind of remind everyone about the context of that final decision. After what seemed like many more months than is typically given, but was actually roughly on time, the process as it was going through, Republicans continued to try and create this very right-wing, very conservative, very radical budget. And briefly, they had entered into negotiations with the governor and then walked away. And then they continued down this path of having a very right-wing budget. And so from that point, that is sort of the undergirding of what was in a lot of the budget. Now, the governor was able to come in and negotiate with them the second time and drag them kicking and screaming to a better result. He was able to improve some of the funding for education. He was able to make sure that we were at least extending child care counts or something like it for an additional year. He was able to reverse the $87 million cut that they were planning for the UW and start putting funds back into our university system. And so there were a lot of really positive things that the governor did, but there were also a lot of things that were still a part of that budget that were very conservative. And so when it came time for me to vote, I looked at the things that I had set out at the beginning as what we needed to accomplish with this budget. You know better than most, Todd, that every year the legislature gets together, we have a lot of bills that we debate and that we differ on and that we agree on, et cetera. But usually there are some big pressing issues that are the business of that year, things that must be accomplished. And from my perspective, the thing that must have been accomplished this year was ending the cycle of referendum across the state. Unfortunately, in school districts everywhere, rural, urban, big, small, and we heard it when we did the joint finance tour, it was the number one issue discussed. School districts were suffering and were going to referendum and were raising property taxes on their communities, and their communities were stuck with that choice. Whether to raise my own property taxes and make sure that my kid has a good school, or whether to keep my property taxes and housing affordable, but worry about what's going to happen at the school. Are they going to go to larger class sizes? Are they going to lay off teachers? What's going to be happening at my school district? And so we needed to end that problem. And unfortunately, this budget doesn't do that. I think for communities across the state, they will once again go to referendum. The governor had, at the beginning of the budget process, had put in a tremendous amount of property tax relief to make sure that the referendums that had already passed wouldn't continue to impact folks as harshly. And unfortunately, Republicans took that out and refused to put it back in. They neglected education, they neglected property taxes, and that means that communities are going to go back to this question of should we raise property taxes when those property taxes are already going to be going up.
State Representative Tim McGuire, the 64th District. A couple of minutes left here, Representative. What you just said, I mean, that you laid it out perfectly. And I'm not asking you to speak for the governor, but as someone who had a seat at the table, can you give us any insight as to why Governor Evers, and I agree with him, drew a red line in the sand to get money for child care in the state? He drew a red line, at least to some degree, to get more money for UW system, which I agree with, but he chose not to draw a red line to get the adequate or more money for K-12 public education.
Well, I think that the governor made significant progress in the special education funding, which was very important. And so I really want to credit him and Senator Hesselbein for doing a good job negotiating better results for Wisconsinites. But ultimately, if I'm being totally honest, Todd, I don't think that Republicans would have budged on property tax relief, because think that they are hoping that this fall they're going to come in and they're going to introduce some bill on the 400-year veto thing, or they're going to introduce decoupling and they're going to say, oh, people's property taxes are going to go up unless you cut education in these other ways, or you know, send the first dollar from the state to voucher schools or whatever it is.
Right.
I think that they're going to come back in and use what they did in this budget as an excuse to do more damage later.
Do you have time to stick around for another segment, or you got to go?
Yeah, there's one other point I want to make.
We're up against the clock. That's why I asked. So we're going to take a quick break and do a little business and more on the other side. It's a cliffhanger. That's a tease from State Representative Tim McGuire, who will finish his thought, asking more about politics and government on the other side. We're live in his district at Racine, home of WRJNWAUK. It's the All Ball Show on location across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin as a fish fry on a Friday night, This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
School sports are played by humans, coached by humans, and officiated by humans. So the next time you're sitting in the stands at a school athletic event, please remember this and maintain your humanity, especially when it comes to judging and critiquing athletes, coaches, and officials. Please show your fellow humans some respect. They'll appreciate your empathy.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Today's job market is full of demand for skilled trade workers. Electricians, welders, mechanics, these and other trades are the backbone of every community. They're also a huge part in making sure the Army National Guard is always fulfilling its mission of service to our country and communities. Soldiers train to keep the power flowing, engines running, and supplies moving. The skilled trades these soldiers perform are the same ones needed in today's civilian workforce. Army National Guard soldiers are on the fast track to learning skills that can set them up for success at home with companies looking to hire the best. With options from plumber to helicopter mechanic and everything in between, soldiers are able to select the trades that best fit their lives. Their resumes are being built through their paid training and part-time service. Find out how you too can learn a trade profession and serve your community and country by visiting NationalGuard.com. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Milwaukee film critic, Mr. Matt Miller. I know you saw this. I saw 28 Years Later as well. I really liked it. My wife loved it. And we're not really horror people, but just something that grabbed. It's just great storytelling.
It is simultaneously what you would want from a zombie movie and something completely different. It's just a really fascinating movie and one I hope people keep checking out.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Stephanie Bloomingdale, president of the Wisconsin AFL-CIO. The big brutal bill is basically an all-out assault on working Americans.
No tax on tips. It's not as good as it sounds because a lot of tipped workers are not paying that higher level of taxes in the first place.
As the wealthiest among us dine at the feast of all feasts, don't be fooled by the table scraps.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show at its new time, weekdays 4 till 6 p.m.
For 75 years, the Muscular Dystrophy Association's voices have thundered through the halls of Congress.
For 75 years, we've willed the impossible into existence.
For 75 years, the MDA community has pushed the science,
shifted the narrative,
and established the field of neuromuscular medicine.
And until that day, when this is all a thing of the past,
you couldn't stop us if you tried.
Join us and celebrate 75 years of breakthroughs at MDA75.org.
As Wisconsin is brats on the grill for a tailgate, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Promise me. Please promise me as time goes by. That it will be just you and I.
Spinning the great hits from WRJN in Racine, Wisconsin. It's the All Balls Show, live on location in Racine, our studios here at Civic Media. 8 minutes before the hour of 3 o'clock, that is Mickey Shore and the Versatones from Starlight Records. Here, it was a label you said, Zombers, it was here in Racine, and they recorded in this very studio.
I don't know. Not this studio. What? It was at 1620 Edgewood Avenue.
Oh, okay. Back in the day.
In the 50s and 60s, yeah.
Very good. Well, we appreciate him sticking around, the state representative from this area, Tip McGuire of the 64th District, Democrat here in the Racine and Kenosha area. Representative McGuire, have you heard of this Starlight Records? This is part of the history of this district and, again, shows the diversity. I mean, you got it all down here. You got record labels, you got Shoreline, you got sports, you got crops. It's fantastic.
Yeah, I've honestly never heard of Starlight Records before, so I'm glad that you introduced this to me. I'm going to have to look them up right a bit. I took a note when you mentioned it earlier.
Oh, very good. Very good. I appreciate you coming back because, look, I'm not you're not here to speak for the governor. I don't expect that. But you were a no vote on the state budget here. And the question I posed was, you know, the governor drew a line in the sand for child care money, which I agreed with. He drew a line in the sand for UW's system. I don't think enough, but that's beside the point. I agreed with what he did draw the line in the sand for. And as someone who touts himself as the education governor, I just said I didn't understand why he didn't draw a deeper line in the sand on that. Granted, he got money for special education, but to your point earlier, this budget means that people all over this state are going to have more referendums. Eau Claire District is going to lose like $2 million in the next biennium. There are smaller districts with even a greater impact. You were making a point. You wanted to finish up on that.
Yeah, I wanted to say I thought that the governor did excellent work in dragging Republicans kicking and screaming further than I think that they wanted to go. But he also was butting up against a timeline. And that timeline isn't just the normal timeline for a budget to pass. And you'll never hear legislative Republicans talk about this. Maybe they've mentioned this. I don't know. I would doubt it. But that timeline was shortened because federal Republicans were passing the federal debt bomb bill that was going to cut millions of Americans off their health care and was going to create problems in the health care space across the country. And that included some federal dollars that the state receives and that goes into health care here in Wisconsin to make sure that we have coverage for people. And so I think that the governor was working to get as much done as he could in the timeline that he had. And while I wish that the budget was better, it certainly I don't believe that it'll have benefited Kenosha schools down here. And so I think that there's going to be a lot of challenges facing our school districts. I also understand why the governor did what he did, and I'm grateful that he was able to take this budget. I mean, honestly, Todd, I don't know if you were listening to every joint finance hearing, and I hope you weren't.
I missed that. I'm sorry, Tip.
but an awful lot of those hearings were watching people take votes to just refuse to fund programs that Wisconsinites would be shocked.
Right.
You weren't funded. And the governor took that budget and he made it better. And it, again, it wasn't good enough to earn my vote, but I appreciate his efforts in doing that.
And quickly, I talked about this during the process. I'm glad you brought it back up because I totally agree with you. You know, you've been in many more, I'm sure. But back when I worked for Dale Schultz in the state Senate, I was in meetings with Robin Voss. You'll remember this. We were both working at the Capitol when Dale held up the raping of the land and the Republican mining bill in northern Wisconsin, at least for a while, and was in private meetings with Robin Voss. And he gets to a point where he just politely says, okay, I think we're done here. Thank you very much. We'll talk to you later. And he walks out of the room. And I think you're right. I think that the governor probably pushed Speaker Voss as far as he could have gone.
I wasn't in the room, so I can't confirm that, but I would hope so. Yeah. I certainly think that the governor was sticking up for his priorities, and his priorities were those three big things that we mentioned: education, child care, and the EW system.
All right. Go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, so I think that there are certainly some positives in the budget. It did get a lot better, but obviously I think there's going to continue to be challenges on that one big problem that the state should be working to address today.
All right. You're a young guy. You're a smart guy. You've made a name for yourself. You're on Joint Finance Committee. Are you outside the building? Can I ask you a political question?
You can.
All right. Very good. So I want to know in the next 2 minutes, what do Democrats have to do statewide? Just in your opinion, as a young Democratic leader, what do Democrats have to do politically to win in the state in 2026?
You know, I saw a headline the other day that I thought could have been one of those recurring Onion headlines. And the headline was, in quotes, "Dems may be overthinking this." And I think that's true. I think that we, you know, you worked on campaigns before. You know what campaigns are. It's about talking to voters. It's mm-hmm. about going out and talking to people in your community, talking to people across the state. We tend to think of these things as big strategic chess games. But really what we should be doing is taking our values, going out, asking people what they care about, and then telling them how we want to help. It's that simple.
I couldn't agree more. I could not agree more, and I wish more, as someone who doesn't belong to any party anymore, I left the Republican Party in 2011, I want to see Democrats win because I think it's the only major political party left that believes, A, in democracy fully and truly, and B, that can lead us forward. But they keep seeming to step on their own message. And is this, I'm sorry, we're got 1 minute left. Do you think that this divide in the state between, I'll just call it progressive Democrats and more centrist Democrats, is that going to be the bane of 2026, or can they pull it together?
Oh, we can pull it together. Absolutely. I'm very confident in, you know, both the elected officials that we've got from across the spectrum, as well as in the people who are concerned about the future of our country. We can pull it together. We will pull it together because, frankly, the state depends on it.
All right. Here's our goofy question for next hour. You get the first take at it. What's worse, Representative McGuire, coffee cake or Kringle?
What's worse?
What's worse, coffee cake or Kringle?
Coffee cake, of course. Kringle's amazing.
You got the right answer. We'll play that on the other side. State Representative Tip McGuire from the 64th District. Thank you for your time, my friend. Always welcome on this program. Thanks for letting us hang out in your district. Have a great day.
Yep, you too.
Thank you so much. State Representative Tip McGuire, we appreciate him. Come on back. We'll play What's Worse, Coffee Cake or Kringle. Greg Bach in the second hour and more news. It's the All Ball Show.
This is the Buzz of the North, WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. President Trump saying he's made a deal with congressional Republicans who on Tuesday voted against advancing his priority crypto legislation. Several hardline holdouts had concerns that the measures could be a backdoor to a central bank digital currency. The president says the rule vote will happen tomorrow. In Minnesota, Vance Belter has been indicted in connection with the deaths of a state lawmaker and her husband, acting U.S. District Attorney of Minnesota Joseph Thompson.
Count one of the indictment charges the defendant with the stalking of Melissa Hortman, with the intent to murder Melissa Hortman and her husband, Mark Hortman.
Belter also allegedly shooting State Senator John Hoffman and his wife. An arrest in the Los Angeles murders of American Idol music supervisor Robin Kay and her husband, 22-year-old Raymond Budarian, is accused of breaking into their home while the couple was out. And when they came home, there was allegedly a struggle and he allegedly shot and killed them. This is ABC News.